Welcome to Kicking It Java Style with Cassie. This morning, I'd like to share a passage from my heart, from the Bible, and it was motivated by a Sunday school class yesterday morning. And what I want to talk to you about is that famous passage where it talks about Jesus wept. And I've really been dwelling on this, I guess you would say, for the last several hours since I, you know, thought about it yesterday. And a lot of people think that when Lazarus died, and that favorite verse everybody likes to memorize, it says Jesus wept, that he wept for sorrow or because he had compassion for the grieving. But I've been really dwelling on this, and I think there is another reason why Jesus wept. I'm going to start in John 11, verse 17. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Okay, so let's stop right here. First of all, did not Martha just contradict what she said? She believed that whatever Jesus would ask would happen. Did she not have faith enough to believe that if he asked him to be raised from the dead, he would be raised? Because she says, I know, he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Okay, moving on to verse 25, says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called to her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him, and now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. I can only imagine at this time what Jesus was thinking. He probably was thinking thoughts like, after all this time I've spent with you and you still don't know who I am? Did I not just tell you all I was the resurrection and the life? I can't imagine how grieved he was to know that those who had been with him the most and those who knew him the most still had no clue who he was. And the rest of verse 33 says, come and see, Lord, they replied. And then in verse 35 it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. There's not many times you hear that in the Bible. I think there's only 2 places that we actually see where Jesus wept. Has to make you wonder, what could move him to tears? He had seen many things in his life. It was a harsh area that they lived in, and a lot of things happen. And, you know, he had seen other persecution. I don't believe he wept because he was grieving, because he knew the truth. Verse 36 says, then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Yet again, questioning him. Yes, Jesus could have kept him from dying. But if we really think about this, being healed from a virus versus raising from the dead, think about how many people's lives are fixing to be rocked from what Jesus is fixing to do, in spite of their doubt. How many times do we doubt God when we think he should have answered us before and that he didn't answer us quick enough? Yet wonder how many people's lives were touched because he waited till the 12th hour. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Man, yet again, Martha, she's questioning God. How many times do we question God? How many times do we question the way he does things? Verse 40 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Do I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" You know what? Jesus hadn't even asked anything yet, but he was already thanking the Father that he had heard him. You know, God already knows what we're going to ask him. We need to be more like this in our prayer time, thanking him for the answers before we've even asked the question, because God already knows. He already provided it. Verse 42 says, "I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Verse 43 says, "When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" You know, today I think there's so many areas of our life that we need to speak to it. And we need to know, first of all, who God is and what he's promised us. We need to thank God for those promises that he gave us. And we need to thank him for the answers already being provided. And we need to tell those things to rise up and be resurrected in Christ. We need to stop doubting what the Lord said. Spend more time with him, but believe him when you're spending time with him. Don't be in this place that causes Jesus to weep, where he says, "After all I've done for you and all the time I've spent with you, and you still don't know who I am?" Today, my goal is to not ever cause Jesus to feel this way. And I just pray that right now, wherever you are, whatever those things that you're doubting, whatever situations you're facing that's causing you to be doubtful and have tears of doubt, I pray that you just think about all the things that he's done in your life and remember those things and know that you can pray a prayer of faith that those things will rise up in life and that the grave clothes will be dismissed from those areas of your life. I'm going to play a couple of songs for you that have really touched my heart. And the first song I'm going to play, it's a fun song, but I think it's where we're at in our life. It's called Fat Baby, and it's by Susie McIntyre. And it was a song I really enjoyed when I was a child. And it just reminds me to stop being a big baby and stop, you know, being wishy-washy and to start dwelling on the meat of God. So I hope you enjoy this song.
Never can tell, he might even be you. He knelt at the altar and that was the end. He saved and that's all that matters to him. His spiritual tummy, it can't take too much. One day a week he gets a spiritual lunch. On Sunday he puts on his spiritual best and gives his language a spiritual rest. He's just a fat little baby. He wants his bottle and it don't mean maybe. He samples solid foods once or twice. He says doctrine leaves him cold as ice. He's been baptized, sanctified, redeemed by the blood. But his daily devotions are stuck in the mud. He knows the books of the Bible and John 3:16. He's got the biggest King James you've ever seen. I've always wondered if he'll grow up someday. He's mama's baby and he likes it that way. If you happen to see him, tell him I said he'll never grow if he never gets fed. He's just a fat little baby. He wants his bottle and he don't mean baby. He samples solid foods once or twice. He says his doctrine leaves him cold as ice. He's just a fat little baby. He wants his bottle and he don't mean maybe. He samples solid foods once or twice. He says doctrine leaves him cold as ice. He's just a fat, 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 a fat
I hope I don't continue to be a fat baby. I'm ready to grow up in the Lord and walk in the faith that I know I have. It says that faith is a mustard seed that we can move mountains. And I know I have at least a mustard seed faith. Up next is a song called No Greater Love by Wyatt Nations. There's absolutely no greater love than Jesus Christ. I hope you enjoyed this song, and I hope you all have a wonderful week.
Jesus, please forgive me of my sins, for there are so many. Well, I don't know where to begin. All I know, well, is your love for me. You gave your son so I could be set free. Now I know no greater love. I felt your presence most of my life, but I ignored you with my foolish pride. I think back now on how things used to be, and I can't believe that that was me. But now I know your love for me is something that will always be. Thank you, Jesus, for all your love. Making everything all right. I know there'll be some hard days ahead, but with you, I know they'll be blessed. 'Cause now I know your love for me. You gave your son so I could be set free. Now I know something that will always be. Thank you, Jesus, for all your love. Oh, now thank you, sweet Jesus, for your love.